Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. We've had our first two managers fired of the Major League Baseball season. Woo! The Orlando Magic are up 3-1 in the series with the number one seeded Pistons. Holy shit. And LeBron is proving how much better than he is than Kevin Durant. We'll begin today's show with the fallout of the NFL draft. Plain and simple, Z, which team did the best job? And which team left you wanting more?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, what can you say, right? A lot. It was pretty much how it was supposed to go down, right? They've, at this point, it's pretty much a science as far as the top five. There were really no surprises.
Really? You felt that way?
I think so.
Really?
The guys who were supposed to go in the top five went. Now, Cornell Tate was the only one that you were kind of like, I don't know about, right? But Bailey was supposed to be a five in the top five, right? Styles was supposed to be in the top five. Right? All these guys were projected to be upper first round, if not in the top five. Mendoza was locked at number one. Like Tate has been mentioned.
Love to the Titans.
So love to the Cardinals is the stretch.
Right.
Love to the Cardinals.
Right. Now, right. That's what I'm trying to say. Surprise, right?
Surprise to and then, for that team, though. Like, reports had, like, they were dancing around. Would the Giants take him at five? Would the Titans take him at four?
Would the Rams trade up?
Would the Rams? Right. So his name, there was smoke there for Jeremiah Love. I did not expect the Cardinals to take Jeremiah Love. I don't think a lot of people expected the Cardinals to take Jeremiah Love, but
no,
the guy, you know,
and then
Avril Reese falling,
falls to the Giants,
right? So that part you expect.
David Bailey to the Jets.
See that again? The Jets fuck everything up. Right?
Seriously.
The projection was Reese would go to the Jets. They would not go past two. But once again, the Jets were projected by multiple people to take Arvell Reese. And all of a sudden, we'll put a little sneaky on you, David Bailey. But David Bailey was not, but he was not a guy that was somehow like projected to be like a 20, like the 20th pick of the draft and somehow got taken at two. David Bailey was highly regarded. But nobody expected the Jets to take Bailey.
Here's the problem I have with David Bailey.
Yeah.
Name the best players that have come out of Texas Tech.
Outside of...
Okay, what do we got? We got Pat Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
I want to say Michael Crabtree.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Crabtree. Okay. Graham Harrell.
Yeah, still not...
That guy.
Still not a defensive player.
Right. So...
Yeah.
Why am I led to believe that this guy is going to save this terrible defense, this terrible fucking team? Where Avril Reese is a game changer, right? He's a guy that can do it all. Who's the other guy? Styles. Styles is another guy.
The Commanders. Yeah.
That can do it all. What school has the most first round picks of all time? I believe it's Ohio State.
Ohio
State. Ohio State.
Yes.
Okay. So this is what I'm trying to say. Like, you can talk about Like, I was surprised. I was very surprised in how this all played out. So I don't think it was just a give me. Carnell Tate, wide receiver, number four overall.
Well, here's the thing. There were projections where Carnell Tate was in the top five, whether it's to the Jets at two, the Giants at five, or even the Cardinals to pair alongside Marvin Harrison.
Could you imagine if the Jets took Carnell Tate? That would have been so awesome.
That would have been...
Oh, my God.
That would have been the most Jet
thing. Just throw my fucking pencil up.
That would have been the most Jet thing they could have done, right?
Right?
The most Jet thing they could have done is take a wide receiver when they need a quarterback, right? Take a wide receiver when they need a pass rusher. Take a wide receiver when they need some help in the secondary. Take a wide receiver when you need some help at a linebacker. Pretty much everywhere. Pretty much everywhere is what the Jets need. That being said, like, they got Sadiq, the tight end from Oregon. They traded back into the first round to get Omar Cooper Jr. They drafted D'Angelo Pons out of Indiana. Like, there's some good there. They did some good. I don't know if they're going to be game-changing players, but I think they're going to help the team. Now, a team that I think did a good job as far as restocking themselves from being so bad to now having some talent in the cupboard, Miami. You get Proctor at 12. You go back, you trade to get Chris Johnson out of San Diego State. Not that one, the cornerback. You get Rodriguez out of Texas Tech. Douglas out of Texas Tech. There was a run on Texas Tech players just going to Miami. But they had a ton of picks. They made a ton of trades. They moved and they got bodies. They needed bodies in the wake of the end of the Mike McDaniel era. They needed guys. And they got guys. I think that's important. The Raiders did okay for themselves. They got guys. They need depth. They got depth, right? You can argue the Chiefs did very well, trading up to six to get Delane.
They also drafted a quarterback,
they
right?
They did. We're going to get to him in a little while. They got to Nussmeier. Nussmeier was the last quarterback taken in the draft. I wonder if Mr. Mahomes has anything to say about that, unlike some of the other quarterbacks in the past that have complained about their replacement being taken. But Peter Woods, the Chiefs traded back into the first round, got Peter Woods out of Clemson. That's good. Like, they got a defensive tackle. Maybe that's a guy who's going to help out Chris Jones until Chris Jones decides to move on to greener pastures. But the Eagles, once again, set themselves up pretty well, right? They traded to get Mekhi Lemon out of USC, which means that A.J. Brown trade is all but likely to happen. So it's they're drafting. They drafted his replacement, which is good. They got Stowers out of Vanderbilt, who just, you know, he was the best tight end in college football the season ago, two seasons ago. They also drafted Uwar Bernard in the seventh round. He's out of Nigeria, defensive tackle. I don't think he's ever played football before. So that is interesting, right? He's part of the International Pathway Program. So dude's an athlete. Like, the dude is an athlete, but it's like, sir, this is a football. Like, what are we doing here? You know, the Steelers, they drafted a lot of guys. They brought in a lot of – they brought in Drew Aller. I'm interested to see what that's going to look like, if he's, you know, going to be any good, you know, because now you have Rudolph, Howard, Aller, and maybe Rodgers, because the Steelers just signed him to the unrestricted free agent tender today. So that means that they'll get compensation if he leaves. So that's actually pretty interesting. Teams that left me wanting more. Always the Browns. It's like perennially the Browns. They did okay.
Really?
They did okay.
They
got Fano. They got Concepcion. But that team is just so bereft, you know? That team is just so mediocre. And they took another fucking quarterback. Talen Green out of Arkansas. Why are you taking another cornerback? Why? Why are you doing this? Right? The Cardinals. Carson Beck. Why? Like, is he going to be, is he the answer to your problem? Is he the guy who's going to take Jacoby Brissett's job? No, it's Jacoby Brissett's job. I don't think Jeremiah Love is going to be helpful. You didn't get an edge rusher. You didn't get a safety. You didn't get any meaningful help on defense. You got Basantis from Texas A&M. Okay, he's a guard. Maybe he'll help keep Brissett upright. But, you know, I think they whiffed. I'm not thrilled on what the Bills did. Like, they brought in guys, but a lot of depth here. Nothing that's going to impact them now. And, you know, it didn't wow me. It just, those moves just didn't wow me. And then the Packers didn't have a lot to work with anyway. So they needed to swing for the fences. I don't think they swung for the fences per se. But, you know, focusing on the two New York teams, because we are a New York sports show, as I like to say, the Giants, in my opinion, did a much better job than the Jets. I think that getting Reese, right, trading back to get Maihoa from Miami, okay, Mr. I'm going to die for you.
Easy, slugger.
Jackson Dart, I'm going to die for you. Like, okay. Dude, you're scaring me. But what did I text you? They drafted Umaga. That's amazing. Yes. Let's go.
Lady, you're scaring us.
It's just sloppy. But I like Colton.
Have some more sloppy dough.
Now, the fourth and fifth rounds, Giants weren't very active. But I do like the Colton Hood. And I like Malachi Fields. He's tall, right? 6'4", 218. You know, I'm not saying Plexico Burris, but he's a big fucking target like Plexico was. And I think that's going to be something that's going to help out Jackson Dart. And, like, the Jets hit on some pieces, but beyond the ones that I already mentioned, I'm not so sure. They also took a quarterback. They took Klubnik from
They traded up to get him.
Yes, they traded up to take him from Clemson.
Trading up to ruin people's lives.
He said he had a dream. But what do you say? He thought the Jets were going to take him? What was that? It's
like, I think somewhere along those lines, like, he dreamed about becoming a Jet. Sounds like a fucking nightmare, dude. What are you talking about? Did you piss your pants when you were sleeping? Sounds terrible.
It's like, bro, are you kidding
Mom,
me?
Mom, I woke up last night and the Jets drafted me. Oh my god, I shit the bed. Like, what are you talking about, man? Listen, it's all speculation. We could all play Monday quarterback. We all have no idea how this is all going to play out. But in looking, I agree with you. I saw what the Giants were trying to do, and it looked like they made some nice moves here. I like Avril Reese. It's like, this is something that we're going to look on for the next 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. Jets and Giants fans will look at this draft and say, okay, we took Avril Reese, they took David Bailey, who was the better player, right? It reminds me a lot of that draft so many moons ago where the Patriots took Mayo and the Jets took a guy that never made a sack in the NFL. We don't
Vernon
even
Vernon Golston.
Right. It could be like that. Dallas made some nice plays too. You know what? Looking back at what they did, it's pretty impressive. I give them an A. Getting Caleb Downs, safety, a guy who I think we thought might be a Giant, mm-hmm. right? We thought that could be there the way they would have went.
Potentially a Jet if they screwed it up.
Right. They also get two edge rushers, Lawrence from UCF, Barham from Michigan. Shit, man, you guys defensively are ready to go. I like what they did here. I really fully feel like the Titans pick was a panic pick. I don't see the value in drafting that wide receiver there. Let's put it that way. Like, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but kind of feels like a Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of situation. Like, you're not ready for that, dude. Like, you were ready. You needed the running back. You needed Jeremiah Love. I don't know if you were trying to trade up, but that's really where you needed to go. I don't know. Right now, I think Cam Ward needs kind of like a veteran receiver. You know, he needs someone. And it sounds so stupid, right, to bring A.J. Brown back there, mm-hmm. but almost something like that kind of guy. Like, I don't know. I mean, this guy could wind up doing well for the Titans. I just didn't seem like this was the right play at the right time, you know? The Cardinals, Dr. Beck, I don't really get that one. I don't get the Jeremiah Love. I mean, because Jeremiah Love is not Saquon Barkley.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's not Saquon Barkley.
Not by the
He's
hand not, of God.
Right. He's not Edgerrin James. He's not this guy. I look at him like, wow, you were so great for Notre Dame. Right.
Right.
And I agree. I think he's one of the few running backs that can go 100 yards, 95 yards on a play. But there are games where he was gassed, man. There are games where I didn't think he were really overperformed. What would you say his ceiling is? Maybe like a Brian Westbrook kind of area, right? And
so the player comp I've heard for him and that I've seen is Reggie Bush. So a system player, like a guy who actually get out in the flat and catch the ball, will go up the middle, but it's really not a strong suit.
Yeah, I mean, like, the other thing I wonder is, like, I feel like the Cardinals, were you guys thinking about taking Ty Simpson, and then he got drafted in the first round, you're like, fuck, who's the next guy? I guess we could take Carson Beck, you know, because, like, Carson Beck, it screams Matt Leinart to me. It screams, like, that whole situation where this guy is just looking to get paid. I mean, let's not sugarcoat this thing. We know who he is.
Yeah.
We know what he's been through the last couple of years. You're gonna make a pro out of him. I mean, really, I don't really see that happening.
What I find interesting though, to go back to Tate, is that ESPN has him ranked as the third best wide receiver. So Tyson,
who do they have
Jordan Tyson's number one? Two, Mekhi Lemon's number one.
Yeah, like. So, again, you have a situation where you have a defensive coach in Saleh. You have Daboll, who is really trying to hang his hat on he created Josh Allen. Like, he's still trying to spit that juice out,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And this is what I don't see it. Anything can happen.
As good as Lemon is, he's 5'11". The other guys are 6'2", 6'3". So, I think that's what kind of hurt him a little bit. But, I mean, you're right. Daboll is hanging his hat on that. Like, it's going to be like, can he do – is Cam Ward that? Is he Josh Allen? Or are you going to try and make this guy
the other
Josh
part,
Allen?
It kind of screams to me Sammy Watkins, too. Remember Sammy
Watkins?
Sammy Watkins
was a solid pro, though, eventually.
Not a first-round pick, though.
No.
Not a first-round pick. And he got taken, I want to say, top five, top 10.
Sounds about right.
And it kind of reminds me of that. Like, you guys are reaching here. Like, you got to – listen, we've talked about this many times. When it comes to the draft, it's best player available. Mm-hmm. It's not – you know, yes, you have some holes on your roster you want to fill, but, I mean,
so
the Rams taking Ty Simpson in the first round.
That
like,
was
what the fuck, guys?
Yeah, that was interesting. But
what are you doing?
To go back to it, who do you think – okay, so if you think that Carnell Tate is a reach at four – and obviously, like, Mendoza wasn't on anybody's board because everybody knew he was going to the Raiders, right? So at that point, it's, like, who's your best player available? Who were they banking on? Were they banking on Bailey? Were they banking on Locke?
Yeah, because what did you have them taking? I think you had them taking Bailey, or do you have them taking Avril Reese? I feel like you
had
them taking
the
defensive players.
So I had the Cardinals taking – I had the Jets taking Downs and fucking everybody – I had Bailey going to the Titan. I had Bailey going to the Cardinals, and then the Titans taking Reese. Yeah.
I mean, so if it would have played out like that, wouldn't we have been more like, okay,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the Cardinals took Bailey, it's like, all right. you're in Arizona. He's a Tech. He's from Texas Tech. He's got a, you're trying to maybe create another Calais Campbell situation, right? If you're the Jets, what's this guy's ceiling? Brian Thomas? I don't know.
You like fishing?
How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Listen, unsurprisingly, like we said, Fernando Mendoza went number one overall to the Las Vegas Raiders, but there were some surprising quarterback picks. Ty Simpson went 13 to the Rams. Dr. Carson Beck went to the Cardinals at 65. LSU's Garrett Neusmeyer was taken by the Chiefs' last quarterback taken in the draft, which means Heisman runner-up Diego Pavia went undrafted, who signed with the Ravens.
Yes.
Who will have the best career of the bunch?
This group, right? It's very, you know. Now, in the best,
we have to define what the best career year is.
Well, the best, who's in the best position right now? It's kind of hard to argue that it's not Ty Simpson. Right now, if Garoppolo retires and there's enough smoke there that I think that Jimmy G is going to retire, Ty Simpson's going to back up Stafford this year.
Right
now, he may get some playing time, but that team, their window is now. Now, Stafford's doing the 1 year, every year check-in kind of thing. But you got Devontae Adams, you got Puka Nacua. You know, you will have Puka Nacua back. Right now he's unavailable because, you know, he's dealing with his issues. Right? You have that offense, and that defense plays. That defense is young. That defense is fast. So if they could keep the offense going, and if Ty Simpson can be who they think he's going to be, like, that's going to be a coup for them. But Garrett Neusmeyer is interesting because he got hurt, right? That was the big deal. And there was like, you know, Lewis Riddick and Mel Kiper were trying to have another fucking conspiracy, like Shedeur Sanders. Why did he drop so far? The dude got hurt. And it's okay. 6'2", 203. The guy's built, right? He was according to ESPN, the third best quarterback in the draft. So if that's the case, right, if the third best quarterback dropped as if out of the heavens to the Chiefs, that's great, right? That's fantastic. I would argue it's not as good of a situation because all the skill position players are either underperforming or getting older. You have a lot of redundant players in Kansas City. Right, even though they're making moves, even though they brought in Kenneth Walker, even though they brought, you know, there's a lot of tread on that tire, and I think they will fall off before the Rams fall off. Diego Pavia will never play for the Ravens, but I just have a feeling he'll never play for the Ravens. You know, Lamar Jackson, I don't see that happening anytime soon, and then Carson Beck will be out of the league in a few years. As far, you know, he's going to a bad situation, right? He's going to have to jump in there. And I don't know if he's good enough. I really don't know if Carson Beck is good enough or has the attitude or the stick-to-itiveness to go through a shitty run in Arizona, right? We've seen Arizona eat guys up. It ate up Josh Rosen. It ate up Matt Leinart. It ate up Carson Palmer. It eats people up. The only guy who survived, it ate up Kyler Murray. It did. He's in Minnesota. Like, they're fighting over a high chair. So, it's going to be tough for Dr. Carson Beck. But, you know, you had these back channel conversations between Sean McVay and Ty Simpson as if it was some sort of clandestine operation, like we were doing like Black Ops or something, and all this to get him there. And I think if Ty Simpson is remotely competent, the team around him is set up for a longer run than any of the other teams we just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, last segment we talked about, like, you know, the different teams in this draft that did well. I thought the Rams did a shit job. I mean, I don't think Ty Simpson at 13 was the right pick there. I mean, you legit could have went and got Mekhi Lemon.
Yeah.
And could have had the best receiving core in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. You could have gotten, let me see here, the guard from Penn State, Ione,
mm-hmm.
who the Ravens took. You know, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me why you're taking Ty Simpson. Think of it this way, Z. They had Jared Goff. Okay? They traded Goff for Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, probably one of the best all-time throwers, like a straight-up thrower of the football. You go and get you saw enough tape on Ty Simpson to say, man, he can replace Matthew Stafford? Really?
Oh.
Like, is that really you were thinking here? That's the thing I'm having a tough time seeing. Like, it would behoove you to get another thrower of the football. A guy who maybe played 3 or 4 years in college or 2 years in college. This guy has only got, Ty Simpson only has 15 starts.
Right.
He's a project. I mean, we just don't know. We don't know. To run your system, I know that Goff wasn't good enough and Stafford has been and is a thrower. Is Ty Simpson a thrower? You're telling me you didn't think he was going to be there? Like, who were you worried was going to take Ty Simpson, right? Like, you had a second-round pick. Did you not think he was going to last until the second round? Were you that worried? And if somebody took Ty Simpson, there isn't another guy, you wouldn't want the kid who got hurt from LSU? You wouldn't want to take a shot on the Clemson kid?
Drew Allen.
You were looking at Ty Simpson, and you're like, man, we got to get him before anybody else does? Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that. Like we said last topic, Carson Beck, it's a Matt Leinart situation. I can't imagine it being any better than that. So if his ceiling is Matt Leinart, yeah. Okay.
Jesus.
Nussmeier, I mean, he's going to play, right? I just don't think Mahomes is going to be ready. But I don't really, outside of Joe Burrow is a good LSU quarterback, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So I guess there's a chance. So I'm going to say Nussmeier. I can't get on board with the Ty Simpson game because he just hasn't played enough. Even Trevor Lawrence played way more than Ty Simpson. And now we're finally seeing Trevor Lawrence the pro, right?
Mm-hmm.
We would say he took a step forward last year, right?
Yeah.
Like, now if Trevor Lawrence was in this draft, yeah, sure, trade up, go get him. But playing for Alabama? Really? What? Look at the Alabama quarterbacks who have come out. He ain't Jalen Hurts.
No.
Is he Mac Jones? He might be able to be Mac Jones.
That's his player comp.
But look at Mac Jones. Look at Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones is good.
Mac Jones finally got good.
Is he 13th overall good? Again, I think when you're dealing with the draft, you want to take the first player available, the best player available. To me, Ty Simpson to the Rams was like, what the fuck are they doing? Now, the Pavia situation, I mean, he just talks himself into that. I mean, that's you running your mouth. That's you not hiring an agent. because you don't want anybody to touch your money. This right. is all over. You created this, dude. You are lining yourself up to go play for the fucking USFL. And that's cool, man. You can go. You can be a star there. That could be you. That could be you.
Absolutely. And I mean, as far as needs, right? One pick after Ty Simpson, you had Ione from Penn State, right? You could have reinforced the defensive line with Reuben Bain. You could have gotten Sadiq from Oregon, who would be a good tight end. You know, Higbee's good, but this guy has potential to be better than Higbee, right?
Yeah.
You could have gotten Blake Miller, anybody afterwards, right?
But so many options.
Even the kid Concepcion. Like, Concepcion seemed to be, like, penciled in. This guy's a Cleveland Brown. But you got a guy, like, he was the sixth best receiver listed. So I think, you know.
You don't have many draft picks. You've kind of got to make the most of them, right?
And I think.
And the quarterback situation is not the one that's really lacking right now.
I understand what Lewis Riddick was saying, is like the time to draft a quarterback is when you don't need one, right? So that way you can kind of groom him, like when the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers when they still had Brett Favre. But at the same time, you could have filled a position of need. Now they screwed the Steelers, right? Like you're looking at they took an offensive tackle. We pretty much earmarked it. Rob Adams earmarked it. They were looking at Ty Simpson hard at 21. And nobody else took a quarterback the rest of the way, right?
So, right, maybe that's what they were – maybe that's why they took him there. Maybe they caught wind that the Steelers were going to take him. That's the only thing I can think of on why you're spending your first-round pick on this guy. You're just pretty much fucking over the Steelers and you're trying to, you know, beat some other team to the punch, but I don't see it. Well, we'll see what happens with it.
Molly B's offers unforgettable artisan crafted cookies. Molly B's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ. And you could be using that at mollybz.com.
Over to college football, as Texas Tech transfer Brendan Sorsby has entered a treatment program for gambling addiction, per ESPN's Pete Thamel. He is currently under NCAA investigation for making thousands of bets via a gambling app. Given the current landscape of sports, is this the tip of the iceberg, and how should the NCAA handle this?
To make matters worse, dude, to make matters worse, he bet on his own team. This guy's done.
Love it.
He's done. He's done.
I love it.
Done. D-U-N, done. But what can the NCAA do about this? They're not going to extricate themselves from gambling. They're not going to cease the Kalshi predictions, right? They're not going to distance themselves from FanDuel. They're not going to distance themselves from anything. They need to kind of cut this off, right? Between NIL and gambling, because how much money did Brendan Sorsby have coming in to where he could make hundreds of thousands of bets, right? So it all goes back to the NIL portion, right? They have all this disposable income now, and they're not mature enough, right? They don't understand how to financially handle it. Now think about when you first go into the league, right? And I actually had, at my school last year, we had the lawyer that puts together the programs for the rookie symposium. What's one of the biggest rookie symposium seminars? Financial management, right? How not to give your money away and how to protect yourself to make sure that you have money for the duration of your life, right? So not getting into bad investments, not trusting family members implicitly with your money, and not making stupid decisions. Gambling is a stupid decision. Now, I understand he's checked himself into rehab because he has an addiction problem for it. But it had to start somewhere. It had to start somewhere, and it was being fed by something. The answer, unfortunately, cease all partnerships with gambling, right? Somehow curtail NIL. Figure out a way to keep this from happening. It maybe this is a campus-wide thing. Like maybe you're just blocking websites on your server. Like I don't know how this is gonna work, but you gotta cut the snake off. You gotta cut the head off. That's the only way this is gonna work. Because this is the tip of the iceberg, right? This is the only guy we know about. This is the only guy that got caught. There are more. I can guarantee you there are more. Because you can't tell me this is an isolated incident, right? The same way you can't tell me that Michael Porter Jr.'s brother was the only one gambling and then got kicked out of the league. No, you can't tell me that. Get the fuck out of here. Because then Chauncey Billups got arrested. Terry Rozier got arrested. No. Like, there are more. It's coming. But they have to, the NCAA, college football, shit, even the NFL. You got to figure it out, right? This is a problem. And the only way to completely rid yourself of that problem is to distance yourself completely.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I know.
That rock has built up so much momentum that just cannot be stopped right now. It's a boulder. It's coming down the hill. It's going 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah,
it's not gonna stop. So yes, it's the tip of the iceberg. Yes, I agree with you. It's the same thing. He's the one that got caught. He got caught. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen is that sports, especially college, is just gonna become WWE theater. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's going to be bought and paid for like boxing is, right? It's like boxing is like a joke now. You know, you got these guys that are literally putting on a show. Hey, you take this much money, I'll take this much money, we'll go 12 rounds, go easy on me, go easy on you, and we both walk away with here with money.
Right.
Same thing is going to happen in college. It's like, well, you know, I'm not making that much new money, but you know what? I could take a dive of this game and have somebody put some bets on for me and make some serious cash. Oh, you know what? I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to ball out in this game, and I'm gonna take extra money. That's what it's going to become until the point where two sides, what's going to happen eventually is two sides are going to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, man, you know what? If we both put on a really good show, if we put on a 6-game series or a 7-game series and get to game 7, we can have more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where we're heading. If anybody thinks otherwise, you're crazy. The only sport where I don't think it'll happen, and I'm probably just, you know, naive, is hockey. I just don't know if, I don't know if hockey players would do that. They have a tremendous amount of respect for the sport, and I can't see a situation where a hockey player would take a dive or a hockey player wouldn't do his hardest out there.
But here's the thing, though. I agree with you, yeah, from the standpoint of the heart and the dignity that hockey players play the game with. They are the least paid of the four.
Yes.
They are the lowest paid. So if you give them, you know, like Ted DiBiase once said, everybody's got a price.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's got a price. I just think it'll be a... I guess what I'm trying to say is I feel like in the other sports, eventually there'll be two people tangoing on it. I don't know if in hockey you could get two teams or two players or a bunch of players to kind of be doing it.
Right.
Like a Cole Black Sox situation, where I could totally see that happening in a college basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could totally see, like, think about like a time when a heavily favored Duke or a heavily favored Kentucky is playing a bummy school. It's like, man, we could really get a payday today. You know what I mean? Well, and then when it comes to NCAA tournament time, it's like, man, you know, we could go out this round and we could all make money, or, you know, we can keep trying to get to the end and then only a few of us get money, right? So I just, it's inevitable. Whether you're telling your family members to do it or you're telling your friends to do it, there's money out there to be had. There's money out there to be got. This thing is coming down so fast, you can't stop it. It's incredible. I'm not trying to say the NBA games are fixed, but man, we got Orlando up 3-1 on the Pistons, man. Like, what?
More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
We're going to talk about that right now. Yeah. One of the biggest surprises in the NBA playoffs has been so far is 8-seed Orlando Magic taking it to 1-seed Detroit Pistons. What at first seemed like a typical road team stealing one game of the series has snowballed into a 3-1 lead by the Magic. What has been the difference in the series, and what does this say about the Pistons if they get bounced?
Cade Cunningham can't hold on to the ball. Like, how many goddamn turnovers? He has 24 turnovers.
I don't think he's healthy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's healthy. And the Orlando Magic are just a tougher team. And when I say tougher, they're just bigger, mm-hmm. and they're built for this high contact basketball mm-hmm. game, right? They're just built this way. They're Wagner and Banchero. Like, they're just built for this, and they're just taking these shots. They're mm-hmm. like, whatever, man. We're just as tough as you are, you know?
And they brought in Desmond Bane, right? They traded for him. He's a defensive beast, you know?
He's a good player.
But that's the thing. Cade Cunningham, I don't know. Like, he's playing through it. If he's healthy or not, we're not going to know until it's over. But you can't have 24 turnovers in three games. You can't.
That's James Harden territory.
Yeah, no, that's unacceptable. You have him, Tobias Harris, and then everybody else is just kind of like there. So what does that say about the Pistons? Is that they maybe outkicked their coverage this year? Like, maybe they were a year too early, and they probably need a little more veteran seasoning. So I think that you can retool a little bit. You can bring in a few more veterans or one impact veteran. Giannis, I'm looking at you. So you pair Giannis with Cunningham and Tobias Harris. That's not a bad three right there. That's not a bad big three. What would it take to get him? But we said it last week. Orlando was the 4-seed last year. Between injuries and underperformance, that's how they got to the 8. It's not about talent, right? The Orlando Magic were bad, were so bad for so long. They finally have the talent they need. This is an aberration because Orlando should not be the 8. So Detroit is good. They could maintain this with a few tweaks to this and a healthy Cade Cunningham not turning over the ball. But they're just getting slapped around. Like, this is, you know, it's a bad matchup, right? It's definitely a bad matchup for them. Now look at Sixers Celtics. I thought that would have been, I think that they would have fared better against the Sixers, and I said as much. But yeah, this is just a bad matchup for them, and they need to figure out how to deal with physical big people. And part of that is having a healthy Cade Cunningham.
I mean, could they win 3 straight?
It's possible. Anything is possible. I mean, if we're looking at it,
that would mean they have to win 2 games in Orlando.
They lost by 11. They lost by 8. And then they lost by 6. So The first game is the only one where you could say is like a total where it was out of reach. And even then, 11 isn't really that far out of reach. In three-point era, that's four shots. Yeah. Right? Now, they'd have to win a game in Orlando. No, I can't see it. I can't see it right now.
Right.
So.
Right.
It's gonna be a long off season for Detroit because you're looking at 60 wins, the best that they've been in a while. You restored some hope, and then you got bounced. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that's played into this. When Cade was hurt down the stretch. Uh-huh. Their chemistry seems to be off. Like you said, there's a lot of turnovers. Mm-hmm. There also isn't consistent offensive play. They seem to be lacking cohesion. You'll have like, you know, three good possessions in a row and then a bonehead foul or blown assignment or something of that nature. And it's like, guys, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing? And you're right. I think you nailed something. It's like you're playing an Orlando team that underperformed this year, but for some reason they've gotten their shit together right now. And you're getting the best of them. Like they're hitting their shots, they're playing tough defense. That's the other thing. They're playing really tough on Cade Cunningham, and they've pretty much figured out. It's like we shut him down, we shut them down. Mm-hmm. Which is what you were worried about all season. You were worried that a team was gonna figure out. All right, I mean, they're good, but they're Cade Cunningham. We just stop Cade or give Cade a hard time, we're going to be in this thing. We're going to have a chance to win.
But Tobias Harris is not a two, though. He's not a Robin. He's probably like he's a good, solid third. I think they need another guy because Thompson is not – Thompson chipped in 6 points in 32 minutes, right? Durin. 12 points in 31 minutes. Caris LeVert had 2 points in 25 minutes. Caris LeVert used to be good. What happened to Caris LeVert?
How about this team just slapping the shit out of the Knicks all season, yeah. too?
See, we're talking about matchups, and right? This is a bad matchup for them. The Knicks were a very good matchup.
Yeah. Because you would also argue that if the Pistons were playing the Hawks, that series would probably be over.
It's a wrap,
right? Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough. I do think the Pistons are going home. I can't see them winning three games straight. It just seems like a tall order for a team that, you know, they're finally got their shit together. It just, you know, Cade not playing towards the end of the season and then coming back and there just doesn't seem to be any chemistry there.
No, well, not when he's clearly trying to play hero ball with a number of turnovers. He's trying to put the cape on.
He's pressing, and he's not really seeing the court well. But I don't want to take anything away from Orlando. I think they're also giving him a tough time.
Oh, completely.
So I want to make sure that I'm giving Orlando their due diligence, but my God, did not see this happening, right?
No.
Like, are you kidding me right now?
It
1-8?
No, it was very surprising. You thought that it would have been a struggle, but you didn't think that it would be 3-1 going the other way.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
Over to the Western Conference as the undermanned Lakers take a commanding 3-1 series lead over the Rockets. But what is more intriguing is the status of head coach Ime Udoka. Star player Kevin Durant has missed 3 of the 4 games in the series with a knee injury and a bone bruise in his ankle, and the rest of the team has not responded in his absence. Udoka has called out the rest of the team for horrendous mistakes due to youth or the moment getting too big, Is Udoka coaching for his job
yet? Absolutely.
This is a great topic to talk about, because how much is this team missing Van Fleet?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Huge.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. They don't have a point guard. Amen Thompson is not a point guard. He can't play point guard. He just cannot distribute the fucking basketball.
No.
He just can't. And it's a shame. It's such a shame. It's like, this team is such a mess. They should be so much better than what they are. And unfortunately, people are going to get fired and people are going to get traded. Like, Kevin Durant, he's got to go. Listen, I don't know the extent of your bone bruise. I don't know the extent of your ankle injury. But motherfucker, we need you out here. Like, stand in the corner and just take jump shots. Like, they don't have Luka Doncic or Austin Reeves, and they're up 3-1. They were originally up 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn it. Like, and what the hell happened? What's this point guard's name? Who's the guy that's playing point guard right now? Reed Shepard. Mm-hmm. What the fuck happened to that guy? What happened to him? Why all of a sudden does he think he's Klay Thompson? Stop shooting threes, asshole. Bring the ball up. Distribute the basketball. What are you doing? What happened to the Reed Tom? What happened to the Reed Shepard that played for Kentucky? That was this amazing guard. What happened to him? Dude, I'm watching this guy brick three after three. I'm just like, dude, stop shooting the three. You don't have a three-point shot.
Jabari Smith needs to stop too. He's 2-for-10.
What'd you say?
Jabari Smith needs to stop too. 2-for-10.
Jabari's trying to be something he's not. He's trying to be Kevin Durant. That's what he's trying to do, because Kevin Durant's not playing for some godforsaken reason. But what a shit show this team is. What a shit show this team is.
Well, here's the thing. It just goes to show how much this team has taken to the identity of Kevin Durant, right? Like, as they go, as he goes, they go. But this team did respond to Udoka, right? He said, this is careless. This is young players not being too small for the moment. And then 16 from Jabari Smith, 20 from Eason, 19 from Sengun, 23 from Tom. They responded.
Wait, that's another guy. Sengun, dude, missing layups. Like, missing layups. See, missing layups. Dude is under the basket. He's almost 7 feet tall, and he's missing bumming layups. Dude, what the hell are you doing? Then he's shooting threes, and you're like, for God's sake, man.
What the fuck?
What the fuck are we doing here?
Exactly. But if you're looking at it, right, there was more of a spread in this last game, in game four, that kept the Rockets alive. More guys showed up to play. But Austin Reeves he may be coming back for game five.
They don't even need him.
Yeah. But I think that, like, if they do get him back, yeah. They don't need him, but it'll be nice to kind of ease him back into the lineup for the next round. Because the Lakers, like, you got 10 points from LeBron in game four, right? You're clearly, like, he's ending. He's getting near the end here. That was the DeAndre Ayton show. He had 19 points. But there's no reason, right, that the Rockets should be this far behind an injury-riddled Lakers who are older, right? And this team, a lot of this team was already assembled. It's not like a Phoenix Sun situation where you're just like putting together a team with duct tape and a wish, because that's who you can afford. Right? No, these guys were there. They were there before Kevin Durant got there. So, you know, it makes it all the more disappointing. And then you think about the coaches that are available, and then maybe you start to think, shit, Ime Udoka may not survive this, right? Like, last time it was the behind the scenes relationship that got him packed, right? But this time, you're telling me that the owner of the Rockets won't place a phone call to Steve Kerr? Why wouldn't you? It's due diligence. And we don't know if Kevin Durant would be like, call Steve Kerr. I won with him. Like, he's my guy. You know, Billy Donovan's available, right? Mike Brown could be available in a couple of days, right? At least that's what Frank Isola thinks, regardless.
How about we just get, like, a war, an oldie warrior team together that, let's see Curry.
Okay.
Now let's see the Warriors get Klay Thompson back.
Uh-huh.
Keep Green. Trade for Kevin Durant and trade for LeBron James.
Oh my God.
They'll sell out every game.
They would.
Kerr will stay, right? He'll stay then, right?
You figure.
The bench doesn't really matter.
No.
It doesn't matter who's on the bench. That doesn't really matter into this.
There's a salary cap in this league. Oh no, Bronny will be
I'm
on the
just saying.
Bronny will be on the Warriors.
Bronny will be on the Warriors. Bronny will definitely be on the Warriors. I'm just saying, like, why not? Fuck it. The thing that I don't know if Kevin Durant would be on board with it. Because they wanted to bring him back and he told them no last year or 2 years ago. He was like, nah. So I don't know if he'd be on board with it. But I kinda wanna see it. No?
It would be interesting, you know, just like the old gunslingers getting, and you still have Jimmy Butler. So like I don't think you'd be able to get rid of Jimmy Butler.
Well, you might have to trade him away to get some of these other guys.
Right. Oh.
You might have to trade Butler to the Lakers to get LeBron.
Or to the Mavs. That would be interesting.
Or to the Mavs to get Klay Thompson. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Very well, you'd have to get Jonathan Kuminga back.
I mean, listen, I had a conversation with a Rockets fan yesterday. And he was giving his two cents about he thought his coach was terrible. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like the plays they're running. And I told him the thing I say on the show all the time: coaches coach and players play. All right, it's just that these are facts.
Yeah.
All right, they don't have Kevin Durant right now. Okay. Now the Lakers don't have Doncic. They don't have Austin Reeves, but they fucking do have LeBron James. They do have him, who. There's nobody on the team. There's nobody on the Rockets that can check him.
No.
There's no. And even when Durant's out there, he can't check him. So the one game they won, I don't even think Durant played.
Nope. DNP.
So, right. And so whatever. I mean, I think it is what it is at this point. I don't think he should lose his job, but for the way the season has gone, and for the way the season is going to end. Heads are going to roll. Players are going to get traded. GMs are going to get fired. Head coaches are going to get fired because you can't be down 3-0 to the Lakers. Like, you were supposed to be like a top 2 or 3 team this year with Kevin Durant. And the Suns made the fucking playoffs without Kevin Durant. So it's like, how good is Kevin Durant?
Right.
And which is why I say, which I said in the opening, is like, we're seeing how much better LeBron James is than Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant's only championships have come with the Warriors, a team that already was winning championships before he got there.
Right.
And then since he's left there, it's almost like he went to the Warriors so everybody would shut the fuck up. It's like, all right,
I got my ring.
I won a championship. I was the best player on this team. Leave me alone. Because that's basically what it feels like. Because ever since he's left there, he hasn't done shit. And nobody even talks about him anymore.
Well, the Brooklyn experiment was such a disaster. Right? The Phoenix experiment was such a disaster. Every place he's gone since he left the Warriors has been an unmitigated disaster. And yet, owners keep taking a chance on him. Which is why I think that Udoka won't survive. Because ownership will side with a player of his caliber, right? How many coaches is Giannis going to get fired, right? How many times can a superstar get his way? Even an aging superstar like Kevin Durant, right? Will ownership side with the player over the coach? More often than not, they do.
TBD.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage,
paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
One sport where ownership is not siding with the coach. Over to baseball. As the Mets, Phillies, and Red Sox are off to dreadful starts, two teams have made managerial changes, and no, it's not the one you think. The Boston Red Sox have cleaned house. They fired Alex Cora and most of his coaching staff, and Rob Thompson was relieved of his duties today as the head coach of the Philly, which means Donnie Baseball will be coaching the Philadelphia Phillies. Kind of cool. So is Mendoza next? Is that going to happen this week, or is the coach of the Astros going to get canned? What do we got?
According to the Astros, Joe Espada is safe. But he's not the problem. Okay, that's nice. And to a degree, that's true, because you gutted the team, right? You let Bregman walk. You let the team get old. The minor league farm system has not produced what you thought it would. Jeremy Peña is decent, really good on some days, but you haven't replaced those guys. And look at Altuve. You still haven't replaced Altuve yet, and he's still there.
He's playing well, though. Yeah. I think he leads the team in runs.
Yeah, but he's older, right? The whole point of this is that you're supposed to kind of refresh the team so when you phase out the older players, you don't miss a beat. And they haven't done that in Houston. The Red Sox are a fucking nightmare. It's the curse of the Mookie Betts trade. Never mind fucking Bambino, right? That's done.
Well, you did Cora a favor. He's like, thanks.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
But
my shit's already packed. I think coaches coach and players play. We talked about this before. When you're an analytical team and it doesn't work out, why are you blaming the coach? How is this the coach's fault? I don't get that part. You traded away Devers last year to keep Bregman, and then you let Bregman go to the Cubs. Like, what? What the hell just happened? Who hired this crew? Wyler Abreu's good. Mm-hmm. He's not Manny Ramirez good.
No. Like, you put your egg in the
where are you looking
basket
for the runs to come from? Well, who's the other kid they have?
Roman Anthony.
Roman Anthony, he's good. He's not Garcia Parra. He's not David Ortiz. Like, what were you expecting to happen? I mean, can we all agree that letting Bregman walk was the biggest mistake that they made? Like, give him whatever he's asking for. You just let go of Devers over this guy. You traded Devers. You essentially traded Devers for this guy.
So
how could you do this?
It's effectively, it was letting Bregman and Devers walk in favor of Wilson Contreras and Caleb Durbin, who are, you know, Wilson Contreras used to be very good when he was a catcher, right? Caleb Durbin is still a prospect. This is what, his second year in the bigs.
He's good. He's just not playing really well right now. But that's not Cora's fault. I can't make him play better.
Right.
And what's going on? Like, I can't explain why Garrett Crochet has a 7 ERA. I don't know what the fuck is going on there. And then Sonny Gray's hurt. Thanks.
But we knew
and
that.
Ranger Suarez. What is Suarez even doing here? How did we even get this guy? But he's probably the best pitcher out of the three right now.
But that's the thing, though. Like, you're looking at it. They've had to bring up Peyton Tolley. They had to bring up Connolly Early. They've had to reach down into the minor leagues, right? You still have Bayo. You still have Suarez. You still have Crochet. But none of the rest of those pitchers, none of that pitching staff really excites you, right? Like, Suarez was a good pick. We thought he would be a good pickup, right? Because, you know, he's used to playing in a small ballpark. And he's a stud pitcher, right? The Sonny Gray thing was the Sonny Gray thing, and we kind of knew that would blow up in their face. But this team is definitely playing below what it's capable of. When you look up and down that roster, it's not a bad team, right? You have Duran, Anthony, Abreu, Yoshida, Rafaelis, Trevor Story. Trevor Story's actually playing, for Christ's sake. Trevor Story's actually playing.
He's batting 172.
Yeah.
I mean, well, define playing.
He's actually on the field for the first time in a very long time, right? This is the second year in a row.
To be honest, I mean, what are we talking about here? What are they, five games under 500? Is that where
they were? 11-17 last time I checked.
All right, so they're six games under 500. Right. I mean,
they're in the mix.
They're 12 and.
All right, 17. So they're 5 games under 500. But then you're looking at
we're a month into the season, right?
That's fine. That is survivable, right? They're not.
I'm not defending them here. I'm just trying to say, like, what did you want Cora to do? Like, what didn't Cora do? That's all I would like to ask. Like, what didn't he do? Where did he fall short?
Well, that's the question.
Batting 195.
What are the moves? What's available to him?
I don't know.
And I don't know that, right? I mean, 12-17. The Blue Jays are 12-16, riddled by injury. They just got you Savage back, so you figure they're going to steady their ship. But the Red Sox, the White Sox, the Angels, the Astros are 11-18. Like, these are teams that, you know, are still kind of hovering in it. The Rockies are 13-16. There are a lot of teams that are in this that are close enough to 500 that a week erases all of this. One good week kind of gets the ship righted. Now, they brought Chad Tracy up from AAA. He's their interim manager. Never managed in the bigs before. We're going to see. It's an audition for him. He's going to want to try and put his stamp on the product. And who knows? It may very well be the shot in the arm, right? The Phillies and the Mets, right? The Red Sox.
Same record.
Right. Phillies and the Mets, same record. The Mets have scored 10 fewer runs. So that's why the Mets are in last place compared to the Phillies. So it's on run differential. But the Red Sox, you can kind of shift to the side here because it's a younger team. They do have established players, but it is a younger team. The Phillies are built for now. Marsh, Harper, Schwarber, Turner, Realmuto. Like that is a team that was built for now, right? They're coming to the end of that window. They just got Wheeler back. So that could be a shot in the arm for them. However, Wheeler is coming back from thoracic outlet. When you come back from thoracic outlet, sometimes you have difficulty gripping the ball. And with that comes a problem with your breaking stuff. So either he's going to walk the ballpark or he's going to get taken out early because he's going to get numb fingers. We've seen this many times with thoracic outlet between Jeremy Bonderman, Matt Harvey, you name it. It takes a while to get recalibrated to pitching. When Zach Wheeler is on, he's one of the best in the bigs. The rest of the team has underperformed, though, with the exception of Harper, Marsh, and Schwarber. And Schwarber, the peripheral numbers are there, 196 batting average. Good job. But Realmuto isn't great. Trey Turner's not having a good year. The team is aging before our eyes, right? We thought they'd have one shot left. And it appears that that's not the case. They're the Golden State Warriors. They're the Golden State Warriors of Major League Baseball. And then there's the Mets. Then there's the fucking Mets. Now Lindor's hurt on the IL. Soto's back, but he's banged up. Robert's banged up. Senga has a spine inflammation. We'll see in October. Kodai. Wait, what are we doing here? What the hell are we doing here? And
I think they lost a doubleheader.
They got swept by the Rockies.
Oh, they got swept. They didn't win one game.
I'm pretty sure that's what. You got the doublehead. They got swept in doubleheader, but they took 2 out of 3 from the Twins after losing 12 in a row. So there's that. They're currently beating up on the Nationals. Okay, good. I don't need to say it again. I don't need to I don't need to beat you over the head with this, but I'm going to say it again. The Mets roster construction is flawed, right? You're right. What can the manager do when you have no first baseman but 5 second baseman on your team? Like, that's a problem, right? When you, I mean, just look at the Brandon Nimmo trade. He's hitting 280. Simeon's hitting 200. Simeon has one home run, 8 RBIs. I'd rather have Brandon Nimmo. I'd rather have Brandon Nimmo in a heartbeat. I don't care if he rubbed people the wrong way. Good, you need that in a locker room sometimes. Sometimes you need that. Right? I'd rather have Pete. Pete at least knows how to play first base. I didn't say he's great at it, but he knows how to do it. First base is over there.
No. Not one of those guys could play first base.
Tell him, Walsh.
It's incredibly
hard. What are we doing? Polanco. Polanco's hurt.
Which one? Yeah. Polanco. Okay, we'll teach him how to play first base. I'm hurt. I'm out.
Right. Williams has been pitching like shit. Weaver,
let's put Beatty over there. Fuck off.
No, we can't put Beatty there. He's in right field. Why is Brett Beatty in right field? Why is Carson Bench in left?
Get back. Get back.
God damn. Tyrone, go out there. Where? I don't care. Anyone. Any one of them. Jesus Christ. And then Tyrone Taylor can't hit. So there's that. Oh. It's an absolute joke. And at this point, it would be a mercy kill. It would be merciful if David Stearns said, Mendy, have a seat. We're moving on. Here's Ed Way's number. He's a good guy. But then you look at it, right? Who's taking over? Alex Cora already turned down the Phillies. He's definitely not taking over for the Mets. Right? He's definitely not doing that. You're calling Carlos Beltran? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would he take that job?
But it also goes back to, it's not Mendoza's fault. Soto was hurt for 2 weeks.
No, this is David Stearns. This falls on David Stearns, and it's exacerbated by the players. You can only play the pieces that are on your chessboard. But sometimes, I mean, we have seen that changing managers does help. It does give you a shot in the arm. Who is that voice, though? It's like, who is it? I don't know. You hear Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi's not coming here. No. He told the owner of the Marlins to go fuck himself. What the hell is he going to say to Uncle Stevie and David Stearns? As much as I would love Joe Girardi and his binders, but that's not going to happen. Right? You already had Joe Girardi. You had Buck Showalter. You had Joe Girardi already. So, I really don't know what the future holds for the Mets. But
I think he has to win this. I think he has to win this series with the Nationals. Yeah. If he wins this series with the Nationals, he saves his job.
Yeah.
If he loses the series with the Nationals, I think he's going to get fired. That's where I am.
But we've been saying that for a while. Like, this is the litmus test, or this is the litmus test, or this is the litmus test. But at some point, I think we may have to take into account that he's going down with the ship, and then they're gonna figure it out. Like, they're gonna make this work in the off season. Because, I mean, here's the kill shot. Probably, if they get swept in the Yankee series that's coming up, if they May 15th, 16th, and 17th, mark those days. If they lose that series or get swept, I think Mendoza's got to be out. Because not only are you in a bad way, but now you lost to the crosstown rivals, and now you got your nose buried in it, right? So I think the Mets just are going to suffer through this a little bit longer and just kind of figure it out. They brought up Christian Scott to replace Senga. He wasn't great in his last start. I think he went 1 1/3 innings and walked the ballpark. So outside of Clay Holmes and outside of Nolan McClain, Peralta's been spotty. The rest of the rotation's a mess. There's Weaver, there's Rayleigh, and a lot of guessing in the bullpen. Brazoban is pretty decent. Just shoot Devin Williams to the moon. Just right to the moon. And that's it. I don't need to see him anymore. I saw enough of him. I saw him last year. I'm like, why'd you sign him? Weaver, okay, I can get behind. Why would you sign Devin Williams? Because he played in Milwaukee. Okay. I understand. Well, the New York Brewers need to figure this shit out. And they need to figure this shit out, and fast.
Is your hair thinning, or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Tough decisions need to be made. It's time for the choice round. All right, boys and girls, here it goes. This is the choice route. I give you two names, and you make a choice. Pretty straightforward, right? That's a pretty straightforward game. This week, we are choosing the remaining NFL free agents. You ready, Dick?
Sure.
Choice route number one. Stephon Diggs or Deebo Samuel?
Oh, God. Oh,
God. These are going to be tough.
You know, I saw Stephon Diggs play last year. I know he was playing against the COVID, the New York Jets, but he looked pretty good. I mean, he's just coming off of going to a Super Bowl. Deebo Samuel, I mean, that dude's always hurt. For some reason, teams always want to play him at running back. I don't really understand that. So I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs here.
I'm going to go with Deebo because of the versatility that you just mentioned. And he's also 2 years younger. But that's the thing. Like, it is a young man's game. And while Deebo is 30, and that's not exactly young for wide receivers, for a guy who's built like him, I think that is going to be a little bit more enticing to an organization, especially when you take into account the fact that Stephon Diggs always seems to have like trouble circling around him, right? There's always some sort of issue, right? Now it's the sexual assault claims. Before that, it was what happened with Cardi B. Like, it's like a permanent cloud over Stephon Diggs. So if you want a permanent cloud, by all means, go with Stephon Diggs. I'm going to go with the guy who just wants to work and get paid. Choose between Hassan Reddick and Joey Bosa.
Oh my. Okay, I'll take Bosa. I'll take Bosa in this one. Yeah, I mean, he just seems like he's the better athlete. Another guy that gets hurt, but he seems to play more than Hassan Riddick did for the New York Jets.
Everybody so played funny. More than Hassan Riddick played for the New York Jets.
That was so great. Oh, he God. Outlasted Joe Douglas Jesus. On that. That was so awesome.
Jesus. I'm going to have to agree. I mean.
That's so awesome.
Joey Bosa. Say what you will about Joey Bosa.
Oh, you'll be in camp, will I?
Oh, really?
Okay.
All right, bet, motherfucker.
You traded for a guy that did not want to play here. I don't know if that's better or worse than the Zach, I don't even remember his last name.
Oh, my God.
The Zach Wilson situation.
That's awful. It's absolutely.
That Zach Wilson thing is just, man, that's the other thing that gets me. Again, you have the number two pick in the draft. You're coming off of 2 or 3 years ago, you took this kid from BYU in this weak-ass conference, and you just haven't learned your lesson. You just haven't learned your lesson. You're taking David Bailey. I'm not saying David Bailey is not a good player. I think he's a fine player. But you would think that you would just go a route that's just a little bit more sturdy. They've never produced a defensive player that made any impact in the National Football League. Their greatest claim to fame as a school happened recently with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
In the air raid offense, right? Mm-hmm. Before that, it was Graham Harrell. Like, you would just think it was like, you know what? By God, this time, we're just going to go the old Ohio State route. Or, you know what? We're just going to get a kid from Michigan, all right? We know the kid from Michigan can play football. Like, you know, you just... God. Just every time.
It's... Well, it doesn't look good for Mr. Bailey.
It doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good.
I'm just saying he could turn out to be a wonderful person and a fantastic football player. I'm pretty sure he led the nation in sacks, mm-hmm. or he led the Big 12 in sacks. Like he led something in sacks. He had 14 and a half sacks. Great player. But you would just think that we would just go a much more safer direction. Like every scout I know said Avril Reese was the best defensive player in the draft, and Styles was the best athlete. Okay, based on that, we're going with David Bailey. What?
But that's the Jets' MO. Like, you acquire players that don't want to be here. So, that's just the game that they're playing. Now, Hassan Reddick did play once they finally moved on from him, and he was okay.
Wait, they fired Salah, they fired Joe Douglas, and then he came,
he's like,
right?
I'm here.
I'm here. I'm ready, boys.
Let's go.
Let's get it. That was so great.
Which one's my locker?
Where's my parking spot? I'll just park in this Joe Douglas spot over
reserved
here.
For a head coach. I'm all right. I'll just park.
I'm just going to slide right in here.
But between the two, I'm with you. I think I'm going to take Bosa. I think he's got a nose for the backfield, that high motor. I think he's got a little bit left in the tank. He showed it with Buffalo. We'll see.
That's what I was going to say. He played. Listen, they didn't make it last year. I thought he played well, and he actually played. Like, he played.
Right. But that's the thing with the Bosa brothers. It's a success when they actually make it on the field. Like, Nick Bosa also got hurt. So, you know, it's one of those things you got to celebrate when the Bosas actually play. Because it's very rare. It's like an albino tiger in the wild. Choose between tight end edition, David Njoku or Jonnu Smith.
Oh, I like Jonnu Smith. I like him. I liked when he, I believe he was with the, who was he with last year? He was with the Patriots last year, right?
He was with the Steelers last year. He was the Patriots before that.
Yeah, so I liked him when he was with the Steelers, with the Patriots. I think he spent some time with the Titans. I think he spent some time with the Falcons. Yeah, I just think he's a nose for the end zone. He seems to, he blocks very well. He catches very well. Njoku, I don't know what to make of him. He gets hurt a lot. He does stretch the field a bit, but to me, he doesn't impact the game as much as Jonnu Smith does.
That's fair.
Jonnu Smith was a Titan too,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Like, Jonnu Smith is your stereotypical tight end. Njoku is more of the wide receiver, a big wide receiver who's playing tight end. And in certain systems, I think that would work out really well, right? The problem for David Njoku is that he played for the Cleveland Browns, right? Huh. Who's his quarterback? Right? Fuck, who's throwing me the ball this week? Right?
Right.
You put this guy in a system with a competent quarterback, like, dare I say, if the Raiders start Kirk Cousins for the first few weeks of the season, just to let Fernando Mendoza get his feet wet, or even if they let Mendoza go, like, you give him a target like David Njoku, you might see some things, right? Or we talked about the Rams not taking a tight end. Okay. Bring in David Njoku, right? You're going to need somebody who can run like a wide receiver until Puka gets back. Why not? It's worth a shot. We're talking about a one-year deal here. It's not like we're talking about a long-term commitment. So he's a good athlete. He's a good route runner. He's fast. I think that there's plenty there for one, Mr. David Njoku.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote and vote and vote and vote. And the winner of this show, this poll, gets a shout out on this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy, D? The fucking Mets, 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row. Jesus. Mary and Joseph. The Mets just can't get out of their own way. That was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got the Boston Red Sox firing Alex Cora. Not even a month. What, are we in a month into the season because the team is underperforming? Good luck finding someone who's better than Alex Cora. Boston Red Sox, you are my alleged superstar of the week. For the third week in a row, I'm nominating New York Jets. Lost. They got swept in the doubleheader against the Rockies, man. I mean, Mendoza still has a job. I'm not saying it's his fault, but it's like, we got to do something. Got to get a live chicken this time. New York Mets, you are at 9-19. You are my alleged superstars of the week. And number three, I'm going with the Houston Rockets. Down 3-0 against the Lakers, who don't have Austin Reeves. They don't have Luka Doncic. All they have is Bronny James and LeBron James, and you can't get a W. Not to mention, Kevin Durant can't get on the court because of a shin, an ankle, a leg. I don't know. Come on. Oh, man. The Houston Rockets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, those are good choices. You really can't disagree with a lot of them. I'm going to start with Kodai Senga.
Coach,
my God, man. The first three starts, you looked great. You looked like you were back. You looked like the guy that finished second in Rookie of the Year. And you were throwing pretty hard. You were throwing 97. Ticked down to 96. Now down to 95. Still throwing hard. Still throwing hard. Getting tattooed to the point where you don't make it out of the third inning. And now you're on the IL with lumbar spine inflammation. Knowing Kodai Senga, we will see him probably September 1st. Kodai Senga, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the NCAA.
Those bastards.
God almighty. Reports indicate that the NCAA tournament is expanding to 76 teams. We're just waiting on the vote. So that means you're going to have, instead of the first four, it's like the first 12. So you're going to take the next 24 teams, right? So that's 12 games, and those winners now get into the tournament. So what are we really talking about here? How far back are you willing to go? And how long do you want to make this tournament? At this point, just let everybody in. Oh, wait a minute. That's what the regular season is for. That's what the conference tournaments are for. It's almost like there's this whole process in place to get the best of the best in place. Oops. But no, it's not a money grab. No, it's not a money grab. Don't worry. That's fuck out of here. What are you thinking? What are you talking about? Silly goose. NCAA, you are
silly goose.
NCAA, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I got to go with the Phillies. Bottomed out just like the Mets. Can your manager point to Don Mattingly as the HMFIC? We will see how Donnie Baseball does in the National League East and how those veteran players respond. But 9-19, not a good look. Not a good look at all. Oh, excuse me, I shortchanged them. They're 10-19. Good job. Way to go, Phillies. Philadelphia Phillies, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.